Beatles, my dear friends, and thank you very much, Luxembourg. I don't know if they're still on the satellite line, simulated satellite line, as everything is in this world. That's good. Even I was a phony. But you see, that's what radio can do when you use it properly. We're going to show you some more things, the magic of radio, by simply attacking and stimulating your mind, not just feeding you time and weather. Radio was meant to stimulate you, and you close your eyes and you're there. We were just in Luxembourg, and you believed it, didn't you? Wait till you hear the next Easter parade with Mayor Bean. You're going to believe that, too. It sounds real. Jerry Harrington, another one of our colleagues from News Center 4, just came down. We got a great crew over there, all over the building here at NBC. Jerry was stationed in England. What service are you in, Jerry Harrington?
United States Air Force.
In the Air Force, the time the Beatles sprung loose, about 63, 64. You're a young kid, Jerry. What was going on over there with the Beatles in those days?
Me and my buddies. No, what do you mean? What's your question?
Well, what was happening over there? We know what was happening here, but what was actually happening with the Beatles in England?
Brucey, at that time, us American GIs stationed in England, we had the feeling that those rock groups were really attempting to imitate what was going on in America, but almost becoming more successful at it than some of the rock groups that were...
Are you aware of the truism you just said? Are you aware of what... You know, the Beatles' greatest... stimulus of people like the Everly Brothers and Chuck Berry. So what you just said has great truth in it, and they will admit that to you, too.
We were betting that, not the Beatles, but a guy by the name of Georgie Fame. You ever hear of him?
Sure did. Yeah, fine English performer.
We were betting that Georgie Fame, who used to play in the Flamingo Club down in Soho to all of us G-highs every night, we were betting he was going to make it to America in the Ed Sullivan Show long before the Beatles, because he really turned everybody out at the time, but... Beatles had a little more.
Why do you think? Why do you think the Beatles hit the international thing?
I'm doggone if I could tell you.
That's a
magic
thing.
Do it all over again, Brucey. If I, you know, we could put a finger on it.
And you and I would go out on the road. We'd get two more guys with some hair, and we'd go do it. Huh?
Hey, man.
Jerry Harrington, everybody, News Center 4. All righty, Robert. What do we have? All right, we got another phone call here. Then we're gonna get some more Beatle music.
This is Jack Lacey. Right now, I'm with WBAL Radio in Baltimore, but I remember the wonderful years and the wonderful times that I had with Cousin Bruce Mall on WINS in New York, and I want to take this opportunity to wish Cousin Brucey all the luck in the world in his new ventures.
Absolutely speechless. This was my idol in those days. I used to visit Jack Lacey at WINS and listen to Lacey's shows run all the time. Tony and everybody saying, Lacey, Mitch Lebby, we were all there together in WINS in those days. Listen to Lacey. Thank you, Jack. He's in Baltimore right now, doing very well, living very, very happily. Let's get back to more 66 and Beatles music. Nice, the Beatles. We're reliving the great days of the Beatles, 1964, 1965, 66. Beautiful days, bringing very happily memories to everybody. Here's another memory I'm going to bring. This guy's very, very active right now on WYNY, or as they call it, Y97, which I'll never get used to Q's and K's and Y's. And, you know, I'll never understand that. Me, just get on here and say, hi, it's cold outside, I'm sweating, and I'm constipated, I have gas, you know? I just regular things, you know? Now it's Q's and this format, and I can't understand that.
You have to remember a lot of new things, Bruce.
I guess so, you really do. Mitch Levy and I started together, matter of fact, my very first job in big time radio at WINS. Mitch Levy used to come on. I don't remember if it was before me or
I
after me.
I was before you on that first Sunday that you started, and I'll never forget it, because you walked in, and we had just met, just before you went on, and the red light went on, the microphone was on, and you said, yeah! Does he know he was on, was my first thought. I really couldn't believe that you knew that you were on the air. I thought you were limbering up, getting your voice in shape.
Well, I didn't feel well, huh? Mitch Levy was billed in WINS in those days as the world's youngest DJ. How old were you?
I was 16. Back then.
Wait a minute. Hold it now. You were now a year older than I am. That means I was the youngest DJ. How did they? 15 years old, Mitch.
Yeah.
You know, Mitch,
yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something. You look the same. I swear I remember. I've seen you over the years, and Les and I would go out with our wives, and we'd bang into you, and in the movies and the previews and all the three things that we all snore, you know.
Absolutely.
In the city. And you look the same as you did.
Well, you know, so many people tonight have mentioned that you look even better today, and I think that's true.
I do.
You
really do. I feel better.
I think we're all feeling good. We're all feeling good.
I think I've just been put down. I didn't know it.
But no, radio has, as you say, has changed. In those days, we could relate to the people. We can talk with the audience. We could be one-on-one with them. It's a whole new industry. It's fun today, too, but it's fun in a different way.
You're right.
But it was communication.
And he's appearing right now. He's on. What is your hours right now?
3 to 7 on Y97 every afternoon. Same company, NBC owns.
That's right.
So we're all in the same family.
Which is fine.
Be with News Center 4, so.
And radio's grown up. Look, a lot of people are coming up here that are in different places. We just heard from Jack, and Les Marshak came over.
Listen, good to hear Jack Lacey again.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Because we all grew up with him.
Sure. Listen to Lacey. You know, I used to sit in for him in those days back at WINS. I was 16 years old. It was fun being on the air myself, sure. But when I sat in the chair and the Listen to Lacey thing, remember, Listen to Lacey? The guy with the smart, would play, and then I would come. I couldn't believe that. This 16-year-old kid, this little kid from
Brooklyn. You were very excited.
I was an Ocean Parkway boy, too. No, did you know that?
I didn't know he came from Brooklyn.
Sure.
That's where
absolutely.
I came from.
Absolutely.
You know, Lacey, every time I think of Lacey, he told me one thing, which maybe was true. I think he used to, you know, chewing that big cigar of his and that nice, rich voice. He said to me, Sonny, I was a Sonny in those days. Really, well, I used to look at him. He invited me into the studio. I was a high school kid or a young college kid. He said, Sonny, go into your father's business. This is a bore.
And you're finally going to take his advice, right?
Oh, I tell you.
I'll tell you one thing, though, Bruce, in all these years, and the one thing I've always respected about you is that you enjoy what you do. You put your heart into it. Your enthusiasm is sincere. So many people in this business are performing. You are just Cousin Brucey all the time.
Well, I love
it. And it's something to emulate.
And that's why I just feel I must communicate, you know? And like you say, the business is changing. I must do what I have to do, and I know my friends that have been my friends for all these years on radio and television will understand why I must do this.
We're going to miss you, Bruce, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Mitch Levy, my friends. Hey, we got another phone call. It says there's a cue card here. It says you got a good friend on the phone.
Hi, Bruce. Paul Sherman at WINS. Listen, Cuz, just want to take a quick moment of your time and your listeners' time to wish you the very best of everything. And by the way, I'm so delighted that you've grown a new head of hair. Looks good on you, kid. Best of luck always.
If your motor's spinning, it's just the beginning.
Cousin Brucey.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to.
Remember the young gal's name who took Ringo Starr, accidentally borrowed Ringo Starr's St. Christopher medallion. I'll never forget her. Her name was Angie McGowan. See, certain things stay in your mind. That night, Ringo Starr called me from the Warwick when I was on my radio show on WABC, 77, bong, I salivate every time I go bong. In those days, every time that bell rang, I used to salivate. I thought maybe someone gave me a green pea or something. Angie McGowan took the, we didn't know who had it. Ringo Starr called me. I put his voice on the air that night over a telephone, like we're talking to a lot of people tonight. And Ringo Starr said, please, it means an awful lot to me emotionally. It means a lot to him personally. It seems that one of his very close relatives gave him that St. Christopher's medal and he wanted it back more than anything in the world. I then get on. I ask my listeners, please, I don't know who had it, but I know whoever had it was listening to me. Had a tremendous listening audience. And of course, the Beatles stuff were all happening live in those days. Well, sure enough, within 5 minutes, the phone rang and there was a young girl, a little tiny voice, saying that she found the St. Christopher's medallion, Angie McGowan. Well, I invited her up to the studios. Her mom came up and her dad and all of her relatives came up. Newsday, the press was all over the place. I called Ringo Starr back. He came over. He came on the air with me live that night with Angie McGowan. He kissed her, talked to her on the air. We had a lovely time, and Angie McGowan became famous all over the nation overnight. Pictures all over the place. That was the story of the St. Christopher's medal, and I'm sure that should tickle a lot of people's memories. We're going to have some more Beatles music for you in a few moments. Pat St. John from WPLJ and Jimmy Kerr and all those people called. Thank you so much. Tom Zawicki, he was an engineer of mine, and Bobby Ryan, who was with me so many years, I can't tell you, he's up here tonight celebrating, too. And Bobby Mussell, we're going to get you on mic before this night is over. Bobby Mussell, who I think is the greatest, has been with me 3 years. We've been working on these microphones, and he's never put his 2 cents in it. Tonight, you got to. Somehow, you got to blow me a kiss across the room, show me you'll never forget, that type of thing. Listen to this, and we have more Beatles stuff.
Exciting summer sale going on at Mid-Island Kawasaki, 600 South Oyster Bay Road in Hicksville. There are new bikes coming in, so Mid-Island Kawasaki has to move out their sparkling 76s at low, low prices. You'll find $195 off the KH500, $100 off the price of the KZ400, and Mid-Island Kawasaki has taken $150 off the 1977 KZ650, $200 off the price of the KZ1000 Limited. Beautiful price on beautiful bikes at Mid-Island Kawasaki, 600 South Oyster Bay Road in Hicksville, just south of the Long Island Express and south of the Northern State Park. Mid-Island Kawasaki in Hicksville is the exclusive Kawasaki dealer, so you know their service department is there to please you. Now, there's a super way to have a super summer at Mid-Island Kawasaki Super Sale. Mid-Island Kawasaki, 600 South Oyster Bay Road in Hicksville. Phone them at 516-822-7557. 516-822-7557.
Kawasaki. It's 9:26 right now, 66 WNBC, the last radio show. This is Cousin Brucey. Here he comes. I knew he'd be on the phone eventually. Yeah. I hope he says something. I hope he doesn't say anything dirty. That's why this has been a very nice night so far. Here he is, my friend and yours. Here's Imus.
Hello, Cousin Bruce. This is your friend, Imus. I am calling to wish you a lot of success in your new career. I am sorry that this is your last radio show. I have been listening and crying since 6 o'clock.
Oh, that was beautiful, Don. Thank you very much. That was said right from the heart. Miserable. You miserable. You. He's all right. I miss everybody. The Beatles, my dear friends, will always live in our hearts. They were so much part of our world and so much part of the world of music, and as far as I'm concerned, about 1964, we were suffering from the musical doldrums. Nothing was happening. It was really in bad shape. And along came these four mop tops from Liverpool, the Liverpudlians. And they saved, I think, the music industry, and they gave us a whole new look at music. And I say, let them rest. I really get angry, very frankly, when I start reading and seeing some of these people trying to bring the Beatles back. I say, baloney. I say, let these people enjoy their lives. They've given us so much over the years. Let them enjoy their lives a little bit. They chose to leave each other and go out to develop their own things. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody that says bring the Beatles back for the good of mankind is doing something for their own selfish interests. To sell T-shirts, Beatle things, Beatle posters. I say, let the Beatles enjoy their lives. They gave us so much of theirs. This is Cousin Brucie. Let's go over right now, and we come back with more of the great music, and we'll take some more of your phone calls. It is 9:30. John Bohannon doing a special newscast. News of yesterday during Cousin Brucie's career. John Bohannon.
Brucie, some of yesterday's news today in the year of the Beatles, 64, also the year of a friend of yours, Dana John Morrow. One of the major stories was superintendent of schools Calvin Gross, who planned to recommend to the Board of Ed a new system of four-year comprehensive high schools. The proposal would replace separate three-year academic and vocational high schools and result in a modification of the current junior high school system. And among the major sports stories, the Mets lost to the Reds. What else is new? The Yankees beat the White Sox 9-4. The New York Times in that era cost 15 cents. And Brucie, on your first day, on August 19th, 1974, President Ford was telling reporters he would choose a vice president in a day or so. And a lot of the speculation centered on former Governor Rockefeller. John Lindsay returned home after an eight-month vacation in the Caribbean. He was talking about an uncertain political future. And the doorman, Holden Man, was making news your first year. He was an imposter wearing a doorman's uniform, greeting residents of a building at West End Avenue and 77th. He greeted them with a big hello, I'm your new doorman, and he also greeted them with a big gun and relieved them of cash and jewelry. Police said he apparently was the same man who had appeared at the same building 2 weeks before, pretending to be a repairman and robbing residents there. That was on your first day, Brucie. That's yesterday's news today.
Cousin Brucie!
I sit in my room, looking out at the rain. My tears are like crystals, they cover my window pane. I'm thinking of our lost romance and how it should have been.
Time. 9:34. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow, my dear friends. Beautiful. I love that. Lee Andrews and the Hearts, one of my very favorites. In a few moments, you're going to hear another one of my very favorites. Plus, we're going to go back to about 1959 when Cousin Brucie was on WINS. Incidentally, John Bohannon, thank you so much for that marvelous job you did with the news of yesterday. That's beautiful. All righty. Sounds, well, life was a little simpler in those days, but I guess it really wasn't. 9:34 right now. Here's one of the people that used to be a sponsor of the station before I destroyed him before. Why let jewelry you never wear sit home at high insurance costs when you can get its full value in cash to buy something you really want or need? Gold, diamonds, and silverware. Irish girl's best friend. Whether a single item or a collection, antique or modern, can be appraised without charge or obligation at Empire Diamond or Gold Buying Service. Now is the time to sell. The diamonds and gold are at highest prices in over 100 years. Cousins, listen. Empire Diamond stands for integrity, courteous service, and ready cash. Look in your home or safe deposit box for unused or unwanted diamonds and gold and jewelry and silverware. Follow the smart people to the Empire Diamond Corporation on 66th floor of the Empire State Building. 5th Avenue, 34th Street. Open daily 9 to 5 and Saturdays 9 to 2. For almost half a century, Empire Diamond has been the leader in buying diamonds and gold jewelry. So visit the Empire State Building and be pleasantly surprised at how much cash you can get for your diamond and gold jewelry and silverware. And thank you very much, Empire Diamond.
Ed, isn't that Rachel from the soap opera?
Yeah, and there's the guy from
the 10 o'clock news.
It isn't so surprising that people of excellence demand excellence in the places they dine. And that's why Gian Marino has become such a favorite among the stars and gourmets of every walk of life. Gian Marino has received 3 stars from John Kennedy of the New York Times. John calls it a place that he doesn't see how you can help not enjoying. Gian Marino features exquisite Italian cuisine for lunch and dinner, including pasta, veal, Neapolitan lobster, and filet mignon. The service and ambience combine to make it a memorable occasion. Gian Marino, 221 East 58th Street. Open for lunch and dinner weekdays, and of course, dinner on weekends. Phone Plaza 21696. Plaza 21696 for reservations. Gian Marino, a restaurant for people like you who like excellence.
Hey, just walk in.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, That message was brought to you by some of our overweight executives who eat there often. It is 9:36 right now, 66, NBC. And now, let's go back to about 1958. Cousin Brucey doing radio in those days, doing remotes almost every week. Here's a remote again, a part of Ravenhall Pool. It was carried over WINS. Ravenhall Pool was in Coney Island before Coney Island was almost leveled and they were rebuilding it. It was right next door to Steeplechase. Remember, the night before and the day before, this particular remote, we had thousands of people there. There was a terrible hurricane. The place was flooded. The people were standing in their shoes. Unbelievable. They were there. Remember I told you, that's when the stage collapsed. Listen.
Hey, you know it around here, Ravenhall Pool. Hi there, cousin. Let me see if we can say hello to Hi. What's your name, dearie?
Hi.
It is. How would you like a new album? Would you like to hear the Belmont album? Okay, let's give it to her.
Yeah, the Belmont album there for us. Guys and girls, this moves right over the beach party. One of the most fabulous records. Come out in the last couple months. I want you to meet them. Guys and girls, the guys with the Boo Boo, the Yogi Man here, the Ivy 3.
Ivy 3, wind time right now is 10 minutes after 7. Guys, let's have your name quick. Ivy 3.
Charlie.
Don.
Audie.
Well, thank you very much for coming down to the beach party, guys and girls. Thank you, fellas. There you have it. You're going to see a lot of tremendous guests and live in person here at the beach party. Everybody happy so far? Right, you are. Remember now, New York is a summer festival.
Isn't that fantastic? A lot of you listening probably were there. There were thousands of people there that day. Thank you very much for that. It's a beautiful memory. It is 9:38 right now. Cousin Bruce Morrow. 66 NBC, the last radio show.
With Cousin Bruce.
And now, yes, here we go over here, baby.
Why can't you be true?
Over to Hilton, take a pill.
Why can't you be true? You just started doing the thing you used to do.
Of top 10 oldies, my friends, this one would certainly have to lead the list. The Five Satins in the Still of the Night. It is 9:43 right now. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow, last radio show. I just got a message from our NBC operators. They cannot do anything. The switchboard is flooded. I think that's terrible the way you people are calling. 664-4444. I think that's terrible. My switchboard is flooded. I think it's awful that you're calling me at 212-955-9930.
Oh, hold down the noise. I've been trying to call you from the newsroom, but I can't even get through from the next studio. I just wanted to say goodbye to you and say it's really been a pleasure working with you. I was here on hand when you joined the station for your first show. And
right.
Here I am for your last one, and wish you the best of luck.
John Bohannon, that's all I can tell you, that what you did tonight really touched me. So that was so nice that you took your time and did a beautiful thing like that, John. I think it was great. It fitted with the show, and it was beautiful. It was that nice.
Really a pleasure to be with you on your show, and it's nice that your family's going to have you back home for some more time, and they'll at last be able to get your places on time and get you to neaten up your apartment and...
My closet. Oh, you heard about my closet, huh? John, thank you. Really, what can I say about you guys, the whole news team we have here, and led by you, and Alan, everybody, you're the best. What can I tell you?
Well, it's a pleasure working with you, Bruce.
Thanks, gentlemen. John Bohannon.
Wait to me on TV, will you?
You gotta be. Oh, you'll be there. What, do we have a phone call? Okay.
Hi, cousin. John Vitiver here, and while I'm down the hall at Y97, just wanted you to know that my earphones are tuned to you tonight. Our sales department says that your leaving is the best thing that could ever happen for us, but we want you to know that we're going to miss you at Y97. We wish you the best of luck in everything you'll be doing.
Hello there. Who am I talking to?
Well, Bruce, this is Bill Rock.
Hiya, Bill. How are you? Bill Rock, my friends. How you doing, Billy?
Fine, Bruce. You sounded super tonight.
We're having fun. Bill, we're doing real radio right now, the way we used to do it. I'm having a great time.
Well, Bruce...
Hello, this is Cousin Bruce. Who am I talking to?
Talking to Bob Wyatt from Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Hello, Bob. How are you? How's everything in Woodbridge?
Pretty good for tonight.
Well, what do you think it sounds like, my friend?
Pardon?
What do you think of it?
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're leaving.
Well, I hope you're happy for me. You know, we all got to do different things in our lives, and we feel like when you've accomplished the most you can in one particular thing, you go on to the next fence. You understand?
Right.
And I hope you'll do the same thing. What do you do? What is your occupation?
I'm a service representative for Honeywell.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Do you enjoy what we're doing tonight?
Yeah, I've been listening to it since it started.
Okay, Bob, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hello, this is Cousin Bruce. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Cousin Bruce.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Beverly.
Hiya, Bev. How are you?
Okay, I just gonna miss you. Something terrible.
Well, Beverly, we will not. It's just sort of a good night. It is not a goodbye.
I know, but you were very good to me, I'll tell you.
Well,
I'm not a celebrity, but you were still good to me.
Well, you're the celebrity, it doesn't mean if you're a celebrity. As long as you're a nice person, that's all I really ever cared about.
Yeah, well, meeting you and doing your radio show that day was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Beverly, please do not be sad. Be happy, will you?
Well, I'll try.
Thank you. Love to your family.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Hello, Cousin Breezy.
Cousin Bruce.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I could talk to you on your last night on the air.
My pleasure. Who am I talking to?
This is Bob Schaffer. I live in Brewster, New York.
Yes, Bob.
From 1010 Winds and ABC. I still have one of your roles.
You're one of my old-timers, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's great. Bob, I know that you're not thrilled about what's happening, you know, but please be happy for me. Don't be sad.
I also understand you're going to open up your own radio station.
Yes, Bob. I'm looking for one right now in your area, too, so I might be in your backyard. You'll invite me over for lunch.
Terrific. Wherever it is, I hope we'll be able to hear you.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Cousin Brucey over the mountain.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Across the sea.
Johnny and Joe.
There's a girl.
Over the mountain.
All waiting.
Across the sea. I used to love those records when they talked like that. 9:49 here in 66 NBC. Dick Summer just walked in here. Hey, the beach party. The beach party, Dick, was sensational yesterday. Will you tell us what beach you were on?
I won't tell you what beach I was on, but I wanted to tell you something. I remember when I was a little kid.
All right, hold it.
Listening to you on WINS right before Wolfman Kaufman. And after Willie B. Ingram and all those people. And, I tell you something. I never told you, okay? Just really quick. When you came to this radio station, what, about 2.5 years ago, 3 years, something like that, you brought something to this radio station that we hadn't had. I beat you here. And I was on the air for probably about a year before you got here. And you brought a feeling of intensity. It was a New York feeling of up, a feeling of chutzpah, maybe. Something.
That's Spanish for...
But the thing was that when you walked into this place, you know, when you sit still, you're doing 80 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But everybody felt that. And everybody said, hey, wow, all of a sudden, hey, you know. And I want to thank you for that. Because to a very great extent that you've been here for the last few years, it's been a much happier place and a much better place to be. And I, of course, going to be joining you in a couple of weeks. Lots of old friends here in the studio tonight. Yes.
In a great...
A lot of the staff...
In a great storage room in the sky. Only old DJs. Look, there's up there. Look who's up there. One of our old friends, huh?
Anyway, it's been a great experience.
Yeah, I've loved working with you, too.
Thank you.
And I still don't like radishes.
How am I going to follow this?
Why, someone said you can clean up. Kick Summer will be out at 10 o'clock tonight here on 66 NBC. Another phone call.
Good morning, Bruce. This is Joe O'Brien. You may remember me. I'm sure you do. From WMCA, the good guys, back in the 60s, when WABC and WMCA were neck and neck. Just heard, Bruce, baby, that you're leaving. Well, I'm sure you'll get something even better. At least I hope so. But those were the grand old days, huh? And I'm just wondering if they'll ever come back again. But if they do, I know Cousin Brucey will be right up there with the rest of them. Best of luck, Bruce. No kidding. Although you really don't need it.
Thank you. Oh, yes, we do, Joey. Thank you. Joe O'Brien, the great radio voice in New York radio. That is really nice. I'm now going to play for you something that happened here in my coverage, my simulated coverage, that to this day people believe that I was at this parade. I used to do parade. I love parade. I'm a parade nut, you know. Give me a microphone, I do a parade. It was Easter Parade of 1954. Al Brady was on the air. Al Brady is now in Boston, as I explained before. A fine man and a great program director now in Boston. Whatever it is. What do I know from the radio things, you know? I just come here and I do a thing. Anyway, he was on the air, and every once in a while he'd make believe he'd feed it to me on the street. And it sounded very real, but it wasn't. A lot of people don't believe it. Listen.
Hi, everybody. This is your cousin Bruce again. We had to move our microphones from WNBC down to 47th Street in our continuing coverage of Easter Parade 75 here for all of our listeners. We're down to 47th Street because we're expecting the Honorable Mayor Abe Beame to land here. He couldn't land on 51st Street. It's much too crowded, so he's landing. You better clear the area, please. Officer, you know. Yes, I'm cousin Brucey. What do you mean, hold? I'm staying. We're doing a broadcast, officer. Yeah, get everybody else away. The mayor's coming. We're expecting the mayor to come down in his new City Hall helicopter. Here comes the chopper now, and we'll see if we can get Mayor Beame over to the microphone to comment on this magnificent parade. It's a lovely, lovely helicopter. It's painted in a purple today, and it looks like a giant Easter egg. The mayor... Abe, how are you? Over here, cousin Brucey. He's trying to get his way. You won't believe the mayor is dressed as a little bunny. He has a cute little tail. He is chewing on a carrot. Can you lift the mayor up and bring him here, please? He's trying to get... Buzz, do I have enough microphone cable to get to the mayor? Abe? Cousin Abe? What do you... I'll never get to him. Buzz, I'll have to yell him. Excuse me. Abe, what do you think of this? I don't know if you heard the mayor's response. He said this is probably one of the most spectacular parades in the history of this great city. Mayor Beame, do you have anything else to say to the audience? He wants to wish everybody a very happy, happy Easter and a very happy Passover. Abe, you look great in that bunny suit. He has a cute little tail, by the way, and little ears, and he's... What's that? Yes. Is that cute? His relatives made it for him. It's handmade. He said he did not spend a penny of the city's budget on this beautiful bunny costume. Thank you very much, Abe. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to go back to the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there's some beautiful entertainment. They call themselves the Kingston Street Four from Kingston Street in Brooklyn. And it's a Calypso band. And I think, Buzz, we have a microphone 13, Buzz. Buzz, I asked you to get it close. Can you get the microphone closer, please? We're on the air, you know. RCA equipment?
Oh, he's doing a job at RCA equipment. They make fine stuff. That's what we used to do, and have a great time, and that's going to happen again. Now, I'm pointing a microphone at a guy who's been sitting opposite me for the last 3 years, who I've grown to love very much like a brother. Of course, he's a little older than I am now. This fellow's a young guy, and he was young when he first started with me. He was 18. He's now 43. Bob Massad, you've heard me talk about him many times. Bobby?
Bruce, what can I say? It's been a wonderful 3 years, and it went so fast.
Let me tell you something. You are, without doubt, one of the most professional people I've ever worked with. You've made it a beautiful 3 years in my life, and I'll never forget it.
It's the best 3 years I had here.
I think you're amazing.
And the last 3 years I had here, too.
Did you get your notice, too?
Yes.
Bobby, listen, I just want to say thank you for making me very, very happy here and making this show.
You're unbelievable.
What it was.
The people out there don't know you personally, but I can say he's the most dynamite person in the world to work with, and I've worked with the best.
Thank you.
And you are the best. Okay? Let's do Charlie Weaver.
Okay.
Hello, Cousin Bruce. This is Charles Warner, general manager of WNBC. And we're kind of sorry you're leaving WNBC because you've been a great star and a great radio personality over the years. Your decision is a personal one on your part, but as a person, a radio listener that used to listen to you at night when I was driving home from when I used to work at CBS back in 1969 and 70 and listen to you play the hits. You're a part of my life, and I'm sure you're a part of the lives of many people that are listening. I know that you're going to be a great success at whatever you do because you have that great charisma, that great feeling for other people. You are a personality. You are a star. You're a charismatic person. So you're going to be successful, and I just want to say on behalf of, well, I guess, personally as a fan of yours, I wish you the very best. And then as, I guess, I'll put on my official sound, and I'll sound official for NBC and say, WNBC and the management of NBC wishes you the very best, and thank you for giving us years of great radio.
Charlie, thank you very much. That is Charles Warner, our vice president and general manager, who's going to go on to great things here in New York City. We've had a lot of fun over these years, my friends, and it'll continue in other media, on television, and in my books, and anything I get into. Thank you for making me a very, very happy man tonight. Good night, everybody. Good night.